From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, February 10th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
The Maine Center for Disease Control is adding 253 new cases of COVID-19 today, with two more people with the disease having died. Close to 210,000 doses of vaccine have now been administered in the state. Maine law bans non-citizens from voting, but a Republican state lawmaker from Winter Harbor says that does not go far enough. Representative Billy Bob Folkingham wants the prohibition added to the state constitution. Mal Leary has more.
Folkingham says he's worried that some municipalities may allow non-citizens to vote in local elections because of the way the current law is written. He says non-citizens should be barred from voting in any election, and that only a constitutional amendment can assure that.
Non-citizens voting in municipal elections would disenfranchise United States citizens voting in those elections by basically displacing their votes.
At a public hearing Wednesday, several groups testified in opposition to the proposed amendment, including the Maine Municipal Association, which argued that the current law is sufficient. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Bao Leary.
And a Portland-based organization's calling on Mainers to rewild their properties. In a press release, the organization says it is launching its Pledge to Rewild campaign to spread the word about the importance of replacing intensively managed non-native landscapes in urban, suburban, and rural areas with native species that provide food and habitat for native plants and animals. Anna Fialkoff is the Wild Seed Project's program manager. She says people who choose to rewild their properties will be rewarded with a wide variety of wildlife.
A lot of pollinators like bees and beetles and wasps and hummingbirds and moths and butterflies, all sorts of pollinators that really rely on the flowers of native plants as a food source throughout the summer growing season.
The organization says more than 550 people from Lubeck to York have already taken a pledge to rewild. Businesses and institutions are also being encouraged to rewild their outdoor spaces. In weather tonight, becoming overcast in the south, clear to partly cloudy north with lows 4 below to 11 above. Independent physicians in Maine say they have so far been left out of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, as have their patients. Some say older patients are either unwilling or unable to go to larger vaccination sites, and federally qualified health centers are expressing similar concerns. Though they're receiving vaccines, they say more doses should be directed to their community-based clinics, which work with underserved populations. Patty White has our story.
Dr. Catherine Galbraith has 500 patients over the age of 70 at her primary care practice in Limerick. They're eager to get the vaccine, she says, and she's eager to administer doses. She says she's registered Galbraith Family Medicine as a COVID-19 vaccination site. But as hundreds, even thousands of doses are sent every week to hospital systems, she says she hasn't received any.
There's word that there may be a clinic opening up near my office through one of the bigger health facilities, but we're already there and already set up. So I don't understand why we can't be involved. We want to be, and our patients want us to be. So we're feeling left out is the bottom line.
Dr. Scott Schiff Slater of Hallowell Family Practice also feels excluded. His practice has about 400 patients over the age of 70, and many tell him they'd rather wait to get the vaccine from him than go to a large, unfamiliar clinic. And some patients, he says, struggle with online signups and don't have the time and energy to make countless phone calls to try to get an appointment.
The system we have in place is kind of crazy and haphazard and not really fair to at least a lot of my patients.
Schiff Slater says if he received a supply of vaccine, he could do the legwork and administer doses quickly.
We can reach our patients in hours. We can pull up on our electronic medical records, everybody over 85, and call them in first, and then everybody over 80 and have them in the next day. And we could do that very, very quickly and very safely
The director of the state CDC, Dr. Nirav Shah, says independent practices can play a role in distributing the COVID-19 vaccine. But because Maine is receiving a limited supply, roughly 20,000 first doses every week, now is not the time.
Throughput is right now the name of the game. The higher throughput that we can achieve with our doses that are coming in, the more people that we can vaccinate week on week on week.
That means sending doses to hospital-run clinics that can burn through their weekly allocation as quickly as possible. Shah says the state is also directing doses to federally qualified health centers because they can also administer doses quickly. But of these community-based clinics that have received the vaccine, most have been allocated no more than 100 doses a week, and some are frustrated by the state's focus on higher volume sites.
There is this concern about equitable access to vaccines.
Colleen Elias is CEO of Community Clinical Services in Lewiston, which serves a low-income and immigrant community. Elias says Maine recently boosted its allocation to federally qualified health centers to about 1,000 doses a week. But there are 20 such health centers in Maine, and they serve a total of 23,000 patients over the age of 70. At that rate, Elias says, it will take months to vaccinate everyone in that group.
We are feeling frustrated.
Darcy Shargo is CEO of the Maine Primary Care Association, which represents community health centers. She says high-volume clinics are important, but they're not necessarily a realistic option for the patients community health centers serve. Many don't have access to transportation or face other barriers.
The primary frustration continues to be that there are going to be folks who just, for various reasons, cannot access those sites.
The Biden administration announced Tuesday that next week it will start sending doses directly to federally qualified health centers. The program will be phased in, and it's unclear how much of a boost it will be for Maine. Regardless of supply, some providers outside of hospital systems say greater participation in the rollout would quicken the pace of vaccinations, not slow them down. Dr. Catherine Galbraith is the doctor with the practice in Limerick.
The old adage, many hands make light work, is being lost here. There are many small community facilities that are perfectly capable, perfectly ready, perfectly able to give vaccines. And just because I can't give a lot of them doesn't mean that all of us put together can't be making a giant dent in the vaccine process.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For years, students with disabilities in Maine have received supports and services from their schools up until the school year they turn 20. And families say that has made the transition to adulthood difficult because wait lists for adult services can stretch months or even years. But now parents and advocates are cheering a recent policy change they say could reduce the risk of many students falling off the cliff. Robbie Feinberg has more.
Jody Hall says she's long dreaded the so-called cliff that awaits her son Andrew when he leaves school. Andrew's a sophomore at Greeley High School in Cumberland who loves math and swimming. He also has Down syndrome, and Hall says when Andrew eventually ages out of school, he's likely to lose many of the supports he receives there.
Once the school services end, adult services is a whole different ball of wax, and it's really challenging because in Maine, there are a lot of wait lists, there are a lack of providers, there are a lack of programs, and there are a lack of employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
So Hall says she was thrilled when she learned that the state's special education rules were changing. In the wake of a recent court ruling in Rhode Island, the advocacy group Disability Rights Maine filed a complaint arguing that Maine must expand its age eligibility, or it'll be in violation of federal law. In January, the State Department of Education announced that, effective immediately, students are now eligible for services until their 22nd birthday.
But a year of services, intensive educational services, means everything for many of these individuals with developmental disabilities.
Nancy Cronin, executive director of the Maine Developmental Disabilities Council, says that additional year will help students maintain their skills as they wait for adult services to open up.
And the additional year gives a little bit more breathing room in which people can keep getting skills. We don't really want people to transition into the adult system and get nothing and lose all their skills because they're on a wait list and then they finally get services, but they've lost so many skills.
And Kathy Dion with the Autism Society of Maine says she hopes the extra time will also allow students with disabilities to explore additional college or job options and help them to transition to whatever path they want to pursue.
So now we're able to look at these and say, okay, this student wants to go to college, so we can work really heavily in that post-secondary and that independent living to get them the skills they need to be successful.
An initial analysis by the Maine Department of Education estimates that about 200 students in Maine should be affected by the new rules. Erin Frazier, the department's director of special services, says the state is working with providers on extending services.
So our hope is to develop some really great programming to partner with adult agencies and businesses and organizations, voc rehab, to really provide something that's really meaningful to students.
In North Yarmouth, Greeley High School parent Jody Hall says the change comes in the midst of one of the hardest years of school for her son, Andrew. The pandemic has forced many of his classes to move online, and Hall says despite the best efforts of his school, they haven't made much progress.
So just a few weeks later, to hear that he has now gained additional time under the umbrella of school services was, for us, like just this bright spot of, oh, wow, we may have lost a lot this year in terms of his education and his progress and even some regression, but he just gained a whole other year in which hopefully by that point, you know, he will be in a much more appropriate educational setting as opposed to engaging virtually and being so isolated.
Hall hopes that by the time Andrew is 20, he'll be exploring job opportunities and getting more hands-on experience with his additional year of services. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow at 11 for Maine Calling. I'm Nora Flaherty.